Father, yea,
previously in A Fond Kiss, written and read by Alice Dale, Craig, Pamela, Pippa and David all went into the Anderson shelter when an air raid began. This gave them an opportunity to chat like a family and hear about Pamela's life before the war.
In the Anderson shelter, with no bombs falling, conversation was lively.
OK, now you've heard my history. How about yours, Philippa?
Pamela asked. There's nothing very exciting about my life. Oh, I don't know, Craig spoke deviously. What about all your ballroom dancing partners? I seem to remember you telling me about one in particular. David's eyebrows went up and Philippa's cheeks became a little rosier. Oh, you mean Charlie Simpson? Yes, that was quite a romance for a while. She decided it wouldn't do any harm for David to hear of a less dull time in her life. I went with him for 2 years, she boasted.
Oh, you did you? Oh, this is the first I've heard of it.
David teased.
Was that a family secret?
I suppose so, she answered. Well, go on. What exactly happened with Charlie? Craig persisted with a wicked glint in his eye. Not what you're thinking, his mother replied. I just met your father, and that was the end of Charlie. After this rather dull ending, they lapsed into a tired silence for some time, and were beginning to nod off when David asked,
So what do you think you'll do after the war, Craig?
I can't wait that long, now that I've got a future wife to think of, he said, giving Pam a wink and a squeeze. You see, I'd always thought I'd stick with flying, hopefully as a commercial pilot. Flying's the love of my life. But until the war ends, I've no flying opportunities, and I can't sit around doing nothing. That was music to Pippa's ears, to hear Craig with a purpose in life again. Pamela turned to face him, her eyes twinkling.
Well, I guess it's time to tell you. I have an interview for a job here in Glasgow next week.
All three perked up with eyes fixed on Pamela.
I wrote for it before I left. It's assistant to the leading speech therapist in Gart Naval Hospital. If I get it, we'll have no problems, darling.
She kissed her fiancé's cheek. Crikey, you haven't wasted a minute, have you? That's wonderful. It means you'll stay here in Glasgow. But I'm not going to live off you, Pam. We are not getting married till I've found another career. David had an idea.
Have you ever thought of teaching, Craig? You'd be assured of a job. They're desperate for teachers right now, especially male ones. And ex-servicemen are allowed to shorten their course.
Oh, I don't know, David. I've seen how much work Mum puts in at home, preparing lessons and doing corrections. It isn't the doddle some people think it is. You don't need to tell me that, she smiled back at him. But it's a really rewarding job when you see youngsters making progress, and you know it's because of you. Pam didn't waste a moment backing up her new ally.
Your mother's right, Craig. I haven't had experience with children, but my job's similar in some ways, and I agree. Their success is your success. It gives you a real buzz.
The discussion went on until, by the time the long, sustained note of the all clear sounded, some 3 hours later, Craig had decided that teaching was indeed a possibility as a future career for him. The four of them, exhausted, went happily to bed in Pippa's sleeping arrangements, all looking forward to a deep sleep.
In an army car, Major Marsden was driving with Gloria Mackey, his usual driver, beside him.
It seems odd, you taking over the driving instead of me driving you to your destination. Which is where, by the way?
That would spoil the surprise, my dear Gloria.
Major William Marsden answered.
I can't help being curious since you asked me to pack an overnight bag. And we seem to be driving a long way.
Away from all those shells from Calais. Besides, I do have a meeting in London this afternoon.
London? I thought it might be a cosy little hotel in Dover.
Too near camp, we need a bit of privacy. This is going to be a special night, and I've no intention of sharing it with any fellow officers from the camp.
Now this does sound exciting. And she snuggled closer.
Hey, careful, don't want an accident to spoil everything.
Oh, rubbish. There's so few cars on the road. That's the one benefit of petrol rationing.
And she put her arm round his back and stroked his neck. The car swung off the road onto the shoulder and shuddered to a halt. Taking her hand firmly, he removed it from his neck and spoke sternly.
Stop that, you little fool. As a driver yourself, you should know how dangerous that is.
Stunned by his tone, she stared at him before saying,
I'm sorry. Then, using her best femme fatale voice, I just needed to touch you. Softening a little, he replied,
Well, that's very nice, but not while I'm driving. There'll be plenty of time for that later.
Promise? She said, now all kittenish. Suddenly she looked young and appealing, and he couldn't resist her. Scooping her into his arms, he whispered,
Promise.
And kissed her tenderly.
Now, be a good girl. We have to check in before 2 p.m. I'll see you settled, attend the meeting this afternoon, and make sure I'm back before 6 p.m., or we'll lose our booking for this evening.
Kissing his cheek, she whispered into his ear,
What booking?
He smiled broadly and tapped her on the nose.
You'll find out.
He pulled himself upright and started the car again.
After the bellboy had gone, she stretched her arms wide and twirled round. Oh, wow! This is wonderful! What luxury! Thank you, darling!
And she rushed into his arms. Kissing, they remained pressed against each other till he said,
How about some champers?
Indicating the bottle in the silver ice bucket, which stood beside the vase with 2 dozen red roses.
Now, this is living, she exclaimed.
When William had gone to his meeting, she made her way to Oxford Street and found a beauty parlour where she had a hairdo and manicure. She was glad she'd packed her best pre-war dress. At last there was something exciting to look forward to this evening, and she was well aware he was setting the scene for her seduction, although he must know by now she would be more than willing. Their inability to be alone hadn't stopped all the stolen moments of fervent kissing and touching, but lack of privacy had precluded anything else.
Why in a taxi? She asked. A couple of champagnes can't have affected you much.
That shows how little you know about parking in London. That's why I booked a hotel with car valet service. Besides, I intend to have a few more at the talk of the town. I booked dinner and the show there.
Why could David never think of things like this? I might not have left him if he hadn't been so dull.
Is that the only reason?
I suppose so. He's kind, reliable, caring, and boring.
Oh, I guarantee you won't be bored tonight, and this is where it starts.
He said as the taxi drew to a halt at the door of the theatre restaurant.
with the placard of a glamorous dancer doing a high kick, taking up the whole height of the building.
Thank you.